This is Late Night. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI. Boston Sports Talk for Insomniacs and the Graveyard Pack. Let's get it going with Patrick Gilroy. Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
It is Late Night right here, Sports Radio WEEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you guys as we make our way together until midnight tonight. We don't go to 2 on Fridays. Thank the good Lord I get to get a little bit of sleep tonight. But as always, the number to join us here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And yes, we did a lot of Celtics last night. We'll get into them a little bit later, but right now they're playing, right? So we're not going to do the whole instant analysis thing. We'll get to some Celtic stuff in the 11 o'clock hour, but to update the score, about 3 seconds remaining in the first quarter, the Jazz, they're beating the Celtics 27-25. Very competitive first quarter tonight, and the one takeaway here is that both of these teams went into this season with pretty serious expectations. I mean, if you go and you look at some of the Western Conference's sort of predictions, the Utah Jazz, just about everybody had them a top four team in the West. A couple of the national guys actually had the Jazz as high as the second and third seed in the West. And right now, the Jazz, they're out of the playoff picture at 5-6 on this very young season. So we'll talk about the Jazz, the Celtics, where they are, where they should be, where they're going, coming up in the second hour of the program. But until then, I do want to get to some of this Patriots stuff. Because I got to tell you, this whole thing with Gronk, it's getting to the point now where I know we love him, and I know that he's like this cartoon character, and he's a freakishly great football player. And the fact is, he's our guy, right? Like, we love him here. He's just somebody that the women want to date and the guys want to be like. I get it. And when he's on the field and he's 100%, there is probably no better tight end in all of football. He could potentially be the best tight end that's ever played the game. And he's, what, 29 years old. So he's not even at the point where he's north of 30 and you start thinking to yourself, okay, he's 30, 31, 32. How much longer does this guy realistically have? But I got to tell you, the more I read about Gronk and the more that I sort of do my research about what makes this guy tick, his values, the injuries that he's been suffering since going back to his collegiate days, and the fact that he just wants to have fun out there. And I don't think he's having fun this season. So Ryan Hannibal today on WEI.com had a great little piece on Gronk, and you know, it just sort of gave us a lot more of the same stuff that we've heard in recent weeks, but he put it together in one nice, neat package, with the exception of one little snippet that I think sort of got overlooked here. And it's easy to sort of gloss over this, read over it, and not make a big deal out of it. And maybe I am reading too much into this. But Hannibal writes, the tight end was also asked if he's having fun this year. And Gronk's response is, I'm just working hard, he said. Sometimes you have to put the work in and you do what you have to do. So Gronk wasn't able to admit that he's having fun. And this is the type of guy that if he's not having fun, he's not going to do this any longer. And this is my roundabout way of saying that I think we're entering the final stages of Rob Gronkowski's career. I really believe that he is going to consider strongly retiring this offseason. If you think he considered it last offseason, I think that there's a better than 50% chance. Hell, I'll say it. I think he retires this offseason. I'm not going to sit here and sit the fence. I feel like at this point, he's going to ask himself, is it worth it any longer, right? So he knows he's not stupid. He knows the Patriots theoretically are a better team with him. They've got a better chance at winning the Super Bowl with Rob Gronkowski. There's no doubt about that, but they just won one a couple years ago without him, and he's not stupid. He can look at the record. And the fact is this, the Patriots have learned how to play, and they've learned how to win without Gronk. Is he a luxury? Of course he is. Is he somebody that Tom Brady would much rather have on the field? Of course he is. And would it be terrible? Would it suck? Would it be bad for the team, bad for the fans, bad for the media, bad for everybody if Gronk walked away from this game? Yeah, it would be. But I think that he is at the point mentally where he is just about ready to check out, say bye-bye, and do something else. You know, there's a lot of other reasons that we'll get into here. But the fact is, we live in a day and age where there's so many professional athletes that need the money, right? And that's such a driving force, driving factor. Again, you know, covering the Celtics for as long as I have, my first few years doing the sort of Celtics coverage, I was much more intimately involved with those teams than I am this particular edition of the Celtics. I was much younger then. I didn't have the candy career then. I didn't have two kids then, so I could dedicate myself, go to multiple practices a week, show up to every single game, really dive in and get to know some of these guys. There was no guy that I respected more in those earlier days than Antoine Walker. Actually developed a nice little friendship with Antoine. You guys know Antoine and I keep in touch. I've done his podcast out in Chicago as recently as about 6 months ago, and he's done Late Night with us multiple times here in the last couple of years. Awesome guy. Antoine Walker is somebody that, unfortunately, he is not the lone example of a professional athlete that's blown all his money, right? And it was so sad 4 or 5 years ago when Antoine was out of the league and he tried to make this comeback and he was forced to play in the D League, but he couldn't get in shape. He couldn't get in shape. And if you read about why he couldn't get in shape, it was because he had no money. So he's literally eating SpaghettiOs and cereal, you know, sharing a small apartment with a teammate that's half his age. I mean, it's completely pathetic and sad. And now Antoine is rebounded a little bit. He's making a decent living working with Morgan Stanley, but he's working with Morgan Stanley, training other people, other athletes, other young stars, you know, whatever they may be, doing this circuit around the country, essentially saying, I am the guy you don't want to be like. I mean, you have to be humble to do that. You have to sort of swallow your pride to do that. Antoine Walker works on ESPN a little bit, but nothing really major. He is never going to recoup the money that he lost. Gronk will never have to worry about that because Rob Gronkowski, you know, for all the crap that we give him because, you know, he's this goofy guy, he does the motocross stuff, he does wrestling, this, that, the other thing. Gronk's an intelligent guy, and he's got intelligent people around him, including his family. And somehow, some way, much earlier on in his career, they convinced him that, you know what, the right thing to do here is don't spend the money that you earn on the football field. So Gronk has literally saved every penny that he's made contractually with the New England Patriots. He's invested it. He's saved it. He hasn't spent it. His spending money, his play money, his allowance, his cash is the money that he makes in endorsements. So when you see him doing like goofy laundry detergent commercials, just know that that's how he funds his social life, right? So there's zero reason for him to play if it's all about money. And the fact is he's got multiple Super Bowls, so that can't be the driving factor here either. You know, when you look at his injuries over the course of his career here with the Patriots, I'm sorry, this can't be any fun either. How much fun can it be to constantly be injured or coming back from an injury or being worried about the next injury? You know, he's had season-ending injuries, what, three times since joining the Patriots in 2010. We had his forearm, he had the right ACL-MCL situation, and he had the back. Those three injuries cost him entire seasons. And now this year, he's missed two out of the last three games with this ankle and back thing that's going on. And it's clearly bothering him because he's clearly not the jovial, happy-go-lucky Rob Gronkowski that we've all come to know and love over the last 8 years. And I encourage you guys to go to WEI.com and read what Ryan Hannibal had to write. It's on the front page of the website because when you read a little bit deeper into it, I'm telling you right now, just read between the lines. He got asked a very simple question. You know, are you having fun this year? It's very much a yes or no answer. And instead of giving a yes or no answer, Gronk gave a very diplomatic answer. You know, he refused to answer the question that was asked to him. And that, to me, reeks of somebody that doesn't want to let it get out there that, no, this isn't fun for him. But why should it be? How much fun can it be always rehabbing, always worrying about the next injury when you're not rehabbing? And not for nothing, when you've got a situation like this with Gronk, right, and you're dealing with this with Gronk, he understands that the team has got to come up with game plans that do not feature Rob Gronkowski. Like, and that's going to be a hard pill for him to swallow, knowing that this team has got to have game plan A and game plan B. And they've come to find a way to live and succeed without him on the football field. So, I ask you guys tonight at 617-779-7937, are we in the final days of Rob Gronkowski's Patriot career? And if it's the final days of his Patriot career, let's face it, he's not coming back to play with another team. You know, he let that be known loud and clear a few months back when the stories about the potential trade to the Lions came out. And he said, no, if you trade me, I'm retiring. I only want to play here. And I only want to play with Tom Brady. Does that sound like a guy that loves the game of football? Does that sound like a guy that is dedicated to playing this game for as long as he possibly can, like his brother over there, Tom Brady? Because it doesn't sound like that to me. You know, it's one thing to want to play with the Patriots for the entirety of your career. But if that no longer is an option, and yet you truly love the game, you're going to try and latch on with somebody else. Look no further than Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce loved playing for the Boston Celtics more than any Celtic that I could think of right now. I mean, the Boston Celtics were his life. And once he secured himself and solidified his place in Celtic history with that championship in 2008, that was it for him. He had nothing left to prove. He wanted to retire a member of the Celtics, but when Danny Ainge let it be known that he was going to trade him to build this team back up, to create the team that we see now, right? What did Paul Pierce do? Ultimately, he sucked it up because he wanted to keep playing a game that he loved, and he wound up playing multiple years in Brooklyn and then going to the Wizards and eventually retiring with the Clippers. So, yeah, he loved playing for the Celtics. He preferred to play in Boston, but he preferred to continue playing the game of basketball even more. He could have walked away when he was done with the Celtics. His game was clearly on the decline. He was clearly no longer the superstar that he once was, right? So if he had walked away after that final year with the Celtics, would anybody have blamed him? I don't think so. He was in his mid-30s, had already won a championship, gone back to the NBA Finals, and his game was clearly on the decline. His Celtics were just embarrassed in the first round of the playoffs by the New York Knicks. I mean, that's enough to get many guys to want to retire. But Paul Pierce loved the game of basketball so much that he wanted to hang on and play for as long as he possibly could. Rob Gronkowski does not strike me as a guy that's going to hang on and play as long as he possibly can. He strikes me as a guy that, quite frankly, when you look at his numbers this year, and I know he's missed time, he's missed two out of the last three games, but when you look at his numbers this year, he's got just 29 catches and 448 yards and one touchdown, right? And if the season ended right there for Gronk with 29 catches, 448 and a touchdown, that's enough production for most guys to want to stick around in the NFL right there. And this guy's going to wind up, barring missing more significant time with injuries, he's going to wind up with 60, 70, 80 catches, three or four touchdowns, and close to 900 to 1,000 yards. That's what he's going to wind up having if he plays the majority of the remaining games here. And for Gronk, that's not going to be enough, because Gronk wants to be this superhero. He wants to go out there and be the guy that he was when he was younger. And the fact is, it's easier to overcome these injuries when you're younger. Now that he's pushing 30 years old, I think Gronk is realizing the rehabilitation that he's got to go through to get back on the football field is no fun. And for a guy that seems like he just wants to be happy, just wants to be Gronk, just wants to have fun, this does not strike me as a situation where the Patriots can plan for Rob Gronkowski to sort of ride out the remainder of his career alongside Tom Brady. I think that Tom Brady's going to wind up sticking around another 3 or 4 years, barring injury, right? I think 45 is back to being sort of the ultimate goal for him. I know a lot of people feel like next year could be it for Brady, but ultimately, I feel like if he's producing at a level, even the level that he's producing at this year, where some people are being super critical of Brady, I think he's been excellent this year. I think there's a lot of circumstances surrounding some of those numbers this year, i.e., no more Brandon Cooks, no more Danny Amendola, working guys like Josh Gordon into the offense, reworking Julian Edelman into the offense. Gronk's in 1 week, Gronk's out the next week. All these moving parts, all these variable pieces. There's been no consistency for Brady, and yet he's still been very, very good. And for those people that are critical of Brady's performance this year, you should go to hell, because he's been great, in my opinion. And any quarterback would struggle with all those moving parts and moving pieces. And Brady loves the game of football. He's made that abundantly clear. He has made it abundantly clear that the game of football is something that he loves, and he's not going to retire anytime soon, right? He's got no desire to retire. He wants to play and play and play until his body breaks down. In Brady's words, he wants to play until he sucks, until he feels like he can't play this game anymore. Unfortunately, that's not the situation with Gronk, and I would love Gronk to be able to essentially play alongside Brady for the remainder of his career. But that's not going to happen. I mean, if I were a betting man, I would say that I think Gronk is done at the end of the season. I feel like he's going to look in the mirror and realize this constant yo-yo of being injured, rehabbing the injury, coming back, being optimistic about being back, and ultimately going down again with another injury. This constant up and down, this constant emotional and physical yo-yo is taking its toll on him. Just listen to him. I believe we've got the cut back there right now, right? If we do, can we play it?
So does that mean not much?
I mean, it's been more challenging. I mean, it's just a little obstacles in the way, and I mean, it's life. You gotta take them on. That's what I'm doing, and just gotta get back to where I need to be, and just be myself when I get back, and it'll all be good. Just gotta take it on and work harder.
When you say get back to being yourself, what do you mean? Because you seem like the same self in terms of, like, you're laughing, you know, you're smiling a lot. What do you mean by that?
Just out on the field. Yeah.
Has that been hard for you to watch when you're watching it over?
No. I mean, it's sometimes. Yeah. But I mean, it's going good. It's going doing good, just working hard right now. I mean, that's the track I'm looking at. And I just see positivity, and I see it going strong in the future.
Is it more challenging for you not to play when the team is having some struggles and you watch the team do well? Is it a little bit easier to take time?
I mean, the team is doing great. I mean, we got great guys around here. We got great teammates, and I can't wait when I am back, whenever it is, to be back out there and give it all to my teammates, to the coaches, and give it all I have, because they've been great, and it's always great working with them.
Rob, it's the most important thing right now, getting you right so that you'll be at your best down the road?
Definitely the most important thing is to be contributing to the team and being out there with the boys. So it's just going to be just working hard every single day, extra days, extra work, and doing the best that I can. And everything's going smooth, and we'll just see what happens from here.
Do you plan to travel?
It's going to be up to the coaches. All right, guys.
All right, there's Rob Gronkowski. And again, you know, with Ryan Hannibal in the group there, essentially unwilling to say that he's happy. And that, for me, is a red flag, because this is the guy that clearly, when he's happy, you know that he's feeling good physically. And he's a guy that's not feeling well enough physically for the coaching staff to even let him know if he's going to travel and play. And the fact is this: it's another week where the Patriots have to come up with essentially two game plans. It's a pain in the ass for the team. It's a pain in the ass for Gronk. And all Gronk wants to do is play and be the dominant player that he knows that he should be able to be. At 29 years old, you shouldn't be on the downside of your career physically, but because, let's not forget, you know, he's a guy that fell to the Patriots in the draft because of physical limitations. He's a guy that's had to overcome season-ending injuries not once, not twice, but three times in his 7-8 years with the New England Patriots. And once again this year, he's missed two out of the last three games, dealing with two injuries now, the back and the ankle. It just isn't a lot of fun for Rob Gronkowski. And for a guy that was kicking around the idea of retiring after the Super Bowl last year, and for a guy that was noncommittal about coming back until very, very late in the offseason, for a guy that skipped out on the OTAs, all of those reasons sort of add up and tell me this is not a guy that's loving his job right now. This is not a guy that wants to stick around and do this for the long term. Let's not forget, too, as soon as he retires from the game of football, he's going to have multiple other opportunities for himself to remain in the public eye and do it in a way where he doesn't have to worry about his body breaking down week in and week out. It is Sports Radio, WEI. It is Late Night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. When we come back, I want to take your phone calls. I want to figure out if I'm alone on an island here, or when you guys read these quotes from Gronk, when you guys hear these quotes from Gronk, when you guys watch Gronk this year, does he strike you as somebody that wants to stick around for the long term, or are you guys like me? Do you sort of figure that we might be watching the final weeks, the final months of Rob Gronkowski's career, not only with the Patriots, but in the NFL? Number to join me here is 617-779-7937. This is Late Night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. We'll be right back.
You're locked into Late Night with Patrick Gilroy on Sports Radio WEEI.
It is Late Night. Right here, Sports Radio WEEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you guys as we make our way till midnight tonight. As always, the number to join me here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. Opening up the show tonight, talking about Rob Gronkowski, talking about his future here, not only his future in New England, but his future as a professional athlete, as an NFL player as a whole. And you know, we started off really breaking down the reasons why I feel like at 29 years old, Gronk is pretty much close to done here. And there's different definitions of done, by the way. He still, when he's on the field, is a very, very good tight end, a very capable NFL football player, right? He's still a very capable guy. He's still a favorite target of Tom Brady when he's on the field. Although, you can certainly make the argument that when he is on the field, he's still an incredible target, but his ability to have that burst after the catch, his ability to sort of drag defenders down the field, that element of his game hasn't really been there this year. So the yards after catch hasn't been there this year the way it has been in years past. And that's clearly a product of the injury situation. You know, you look at him, he hasn't been 100% all year. He's been battling the back and the ankle all year. Now the back and the ankle have cost him two out of the last three games, could potentially cost him this weekend's game as well. And you combine that with the fact that he's had three other injuries in his last 8 years that have cost him the remainder of three different seasons going on injury-ending IR. It's just, you get to the point where it seems like every single offseason you're rehabbing. And then this past offseason, he wasn't necessarily rehabbing, but this past offseason coming off the Super Bowl loss, it was clear that mentally he needed to rehab a little bit. Mentally, he wasn't himself. Mentally, he wasn't all in with the New England Patriots. Mentally, he wasn't all in to sort of do the work that it takes to come back and be the most dominant tight end in the NFL. And the evidence is there. This is not my opinion. The evidence is right there. I mean, not for nothing, but not showing up to OTAs is evidence alone that physically he wasn't 100% ready to come back and put in all the work that he had put in years past. The fact that he was noncommittal about coming back and rejoining the Patriots and playing NFL football at all until later on in the offseason tells me that, you know, if he was mentally not 100% for a 4 or 5 month stretch, then is he really out there physically putting in the same amount of work day in and day out that he would have been in years past, knowing that his goal is to come back, win another Super Bowl, come back, be the best tight end in the NFL? See, there was a difference this year in the offseason. He had to more or less talk his way back in. He had to mentally prepare himself for a much longer period of time to come back and put himself in a position to be the best tight end in the NFL. And make no mistake about it, the guy did a tremendous amount of work to get back and to get back and play at the level in which he's played at. It's not his fault that he's constantly injured. It's not his fault that his body is constantly failing him. It's certainly not for lack of work on it. I mean, the guy has been working on his physique for his entire life. I mean, you look at him, he is a specimen. So he's just one of these guys where between the position that he plays and the fact that once you have an injury to a major body part, right? So your back, for example, once you've had one back surgery, you're more susceptible to needing a second, needing a third, needing a fourth. Once your leg gives out on you, you're more susceptible to the ankle going again, right? That's just what happens. Your body weakens over time. And he's had major injuries to the back, the ankle, and to the knee. So all of those body parts on him have been reconstructed in some way, shape, or form, some more than once. It's no fun to be in pain all the time. It is no fun to have to do this tremendous amount of work just to put yourself on the football field. And this year, he did the work to get on the football field. He can't stay on the football field. And when he's on the football field, he is not producing at the level in which he's used to producing. And I feel like for all those reasons combined, he is just not the guy that he wants to be. And if he's not having fun out there, and you heard it in that clip we played in the first segment, if Rob Gronkowski is not dominant on the football field, then he's not himself. Then he's not having fun. Then he's not enjoying the process, enjoying these games, enjoying being the premier tight end in the NFL. He wants to be able to confidently say that that's his position, that he is that guy. He doesn't want to compete with other guys for that sort of title. He wants to be, you know, the Tom Brady of tight ends. And for many years, he sort of was. But now he's not. There are guys better than him this year. There are guys more physically dominant than him this year. And I think it's getting to the point where Gronk's got other things to do. There are other offers on the table. All right? There are other opportunities for him to remain in the public eye. And he'll turn 30 years old next year. It wouldn't be so bad if he gets out of the NFL pretty much unscathed without a life-altering injury, right? And he gets to do it while knowing he's got 100% of all the money that he's made from his NFL career still sitting in the bank accruing interest. So now you get to make money with all your new opportunities. Meanwhile, your NFL money is still in the bank accruing interest, making money for him, living off the endorsement money, living off all the extra money that he makes, whether it's through commercials or through showing up at a NASCAR event or doing something with WWE or doing something with motocross. All that money is Gronk's play money. And meanwhile, you know, the one story that didn't get a lot of play throughout last offseason in regards to Gronk, let's think about our own families here. Let's think about our own lives here. Some of the biggest influential people in our lives are our family members, right? Who are the people that we go to for advice? Who are the people that we turn to first? Who are the people that you don't have to ask for advice because sometimes they're all too ready, willing, and able to give it even when you don't want it, right? That's what your family does. That's what family members do. They do it out of love, but sometimes they butt in, and they butt in way too much. All that being said, you know, stories last year, multiple stories throughout the offseason, that Gronk's family wanted him to retire throughout last offseason. That's influential. That is important. That is a critical piece to this whole discussion. Because every time the guy goes down with an injury, every time he can't play, every time Bill Belichick, quote-unquote, screws him, right, his family's going to be on the horn saying, hey, what are you doing? Why are you doing this to yourself? Why are you punishing yourself? Your coach, he doesn't even appreciate the work that you're doing. He doesn't appreciate the hell that you're going through. So believe me, he's got people chirping in his ear, people that he loves, people that he trusts, people that he cares about, chirping in his ear, telling him, just retire. You're a multimillionaire 100 times over, and you're going to make 10 times more money once you retire through more endorsement deals. I mean, when you look at a guy like Peyton Manning and look at the fact that he's got more endorsements now than ever, and he's been out of the league for a couple of years, Gronk is 1,000 times more personable, more marketable than a guy like Peyton Manning, in my opinion. At least he's engaging, right? And there's going to be many, many, many opportunities for Gronk to make plenty of money, whether it's through motocross, through WWE, through other sort of personal events, or whether it's through major endorsement deals. He wants to be in movies. I mean, there's all these opportunities waiting for Rob Gronkowski. So if he doesn't need the money from the NFL, if he no longer needs to win another Super Bowl, what is the point? Because this does not look like a guy that's having fun to me. This does not look like a guy that wants to put in the same amount of work that he's had to put in years past and ask himself, what am I doing this for? I can't even get back out on the football field. And when I finally do, I can't perform up to the level and up to the standard that I'm used to performing to. And if you think that because I'm a late night hack, because I'm the guy that works the overnight shift here, that's my sort of place in the hierarchy here at WEEI. If you think that that's the reason why I feel like this and I'm just a dummy that works the overnight shift, I mean, Peter King, he feels the same way, too, and he joined Dale and Keith earlier this week. Listen to what Peter King had to say right here, because he's echoing some of the same sentiments that I've given you through the first two segments of this program.
Do you think there's a chance we could be watching the last season of Rob Gronkowski? There was obviously the retirement rumors and things like that from the offseason. Then he even had a weird kind of press conference this week. He's dealing with a couple of injuries. He's already missed two games. Doesn't seem to be the same guy on the field. Is there a chance to you this could be it?
I think there's a chance. I think Gronkowski has always been the kind of guy who, although the impression he gives because he's an absolute steamroller when he gets the ball and he leaves bodies in his wake out there, I think the impression that he's always given is that he's going to be like Ditka and he's going to leave every last drop on the field. But I really don't sense that that's the case. I saw Drew Rosenhaus this offseason. I saw him at the scouting combine, actually, and we just had a very brief discussion about Gronkowski. And I've always got the impression that Gronk is going to do some other things in life and want to do some other things in life. Not that he doesn't love playing football, but he also doesn't want to get ruined by football physically. One other thing, I really got the sense being at the game on Sunday night that the Patriots are really trying to, because everybody knows he could have played in that game if it was a playoff game, and he would have played in that game if it was a playoff game. I think the Patriots view that there's a 2018 football season expiration date on Rob Gronkowski. And could you put him out there for, let's say, whatever they have, seven regular season games and hopefully for them three playoff games? Could you put him out there 10 more times? You could, but he'd be in games 8, 9, and 10. Probably not very good. So I just think the Patriots are kind of hedging their bets and saying, let's try to get Gronk to a position where he can play five of these games and he can be really, really good in them, hopefully, because the last couple of weeks he just hasn't been the classic Gronk.
It's Peter King right there earlier this week with Dale and Keefe, sort of saying the same things I'm saying here, that it's clearly coming to an end. And whether it's this offseason, next offseason, the best days, the most dominant days of Rob Gronkowski's career, unfortunately, I think, are over. We all sort of thought he's only 29 years old. He stays in great physical shape. There's no reason why he can't play, you know, well into at least his early 30s and continue to be the dominant guy that he's been here over the last 7 or 8 years when healthy. Unfortunately, his ability to stay healthy is becoming so much of a process. And I think part of the frustrating part for Gronk is he knows right now he's putting in that work to be healthy. He's there. He's in the training room. He's doing everything that he is required to do to get his body right and ready to be a dominant NFL tight end. And his body's not responding. Even when he's on the field this year, you cannot convince me, you cannot tell me that he's been the same threat that he's been in years past. You cannot convince me, you cannot tell me in those few games that he has been on the field this year that Tom Brady has been able to utilize him the way that he's accustomed to utilizing him. Because he just can't jump as high as he used to be able to jump, can't run as fast as he used to be able to run, and once he does catch the ball, he's still an incredible target, right? And he's still a lethal target. He can still pluck balls out of the air and catch balls that nobody else in the league can catch. But what used to separate him from being, you know, the good from the great was what he did after the catch, the ability to somewhat explode for a guy of his size after the catch. And if he couldn't explode, he'd have the strength to literally drag defenders with him into the end zone. A true, like, mind over matter situation. And this year, he hasn't shown that ability whatsoever. And I don't know if it's because he no longer has that strength or speed that he used to have, or if he's just trying to play it safe with his body. And he knows that if he does these things, his body's going to give out even faster than it already has given out on him this year. It is Sports Radio WEI. It is Late Night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Plenty of room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937.
Talk all Boston sports with Patrick Gilroy on Sports Radio WEI.
It is Late Night right here, Sports Radio WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you guys as we make our way together up until midnight tonight. I generally say make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. And it's almost natural for me to want to say that, and I keep stopping myself. And every time I stop myself, I'm so grateful that I don't have to stay up or stay here until 2 tonight. This has been like the week from hell for me. It's been the month from hell for me. You guys have heard about the personal things going on in my life with my father, my family, all that stuff. But on top of that, not to complain, not to bitch, but, you know, I've got a full-time career that puts me literally on a plane every week. I mean, this week, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday morning, I was in Charlotte. Then I flew back home. I landed at, 9:30. I was here by 10 to do late night. And I've done late night every night this week, as I've been doing just about every week. And then again, I leave this Sunday to go to Chicago. I'll come back Tuesday morning and repeat this performance all over again. I am flipping exhausted. And I say that because at 37937, one of these texters here tonight says, maybe Gronk is just getting older, you know. Life may lose its luster for anybody with time. The dude's 29 years old. I hope life is not losing its luster for Rob Gronkowski. He literally has life by the you-know-what. Like, if he retired tomorrow, if he walked away from the game tomorrow, the guy's still going to live a phenomenal life. He's a multimillionaire. He will never have to worry about money. He's going to stay in the public eye because he's got that personality, that cachet. He's very marketable. There are a number of reasons why, you know, Gronk should be in the prime of his life right now with or without football. So again, you know, I'm pushing 40 and I'm pulling 80 hours a week on the air. And then I'm going home to two young kids and a wife. I coach my kids' basketball team. Like, I am very involved. I generally don't sleep. I get about 2-3 hours of sleep a night, and that's on a good night. And life hasn't lost its luster for me. And I'm old, and I look much older than I am. My life is nothing like Gronk. So again, you know, I think that sometimes we take sports and life too seriously. I mean, I would love to see, as a fan, I want to see Gronk play for as long as he possibly can. I have yet to see somebody as physically dominant as Gronk when he was in his prime. I mean, this guy can do things on the football field that other tight ends simply cannot do. All that being said, you come to a point where you have to ask yourself, if you're Gronk, is it all worth it? And when you combine the fact that he's clearly asking himself that question, combine that with the fact that he's clearly not having the type of fun that he used to have, and that's not, again, my opinion. You guys have heard Peter King talk about it. You heard Gronk say it with his own words. You've read it on WEEI.com today in Ryan Hannibal's piece, where Gronk's unwilling, unable to answer the question, you know, is this still fun? Are you having fun? He can't say yes to that question. And you combine all that with the fact that I read you guys pieces from the story that said his parents, his brothers, his family, they all begged him this offseason to retire from the game of football. So there's a number of reasons why I think Rob Gronkowski is going to retire regardless of how this season ends for the Patriots. But it is Sports Radio WEI. It is Late Night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You guys have heard enough from me tonight. Let's go out to the phones. Let's go to Dan. Dan's in Connecticut. Dan, you're first up here on WEI.
Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Dan.
I love the Gronk talk. I'm stuck down here in Southern Connecticut in the middle of a bunch of freaking Yankees fans, and I'm a Boston rooter, so.
Tough place to be, man.
I know, but hey, guess what? Who got the last laugh this year, right?
Exactly. And you know what? You can walk around with your chest puffed out a little bit further this winter.
Yeah, amen, man. Yeah. I'll say one thing. As Gronk, as great as he is as a personality, it's pretty hard to be better than Peyton Manning. I think that guy, and I'm a Gronk fan, believe me, I just think Peyton Manning also is got about as much personality as ever, but Gronk is going to be the next action star. He's going to be the next Rock, you know, Dwayne Johnson.
He could be. I mean, that's what he wants
to
do.
It's written in the stars. That guy's going to be a star.
That's what he ultimately wants to do. He's talked about that. And even if that didn't work out for him, there's a million other opportunities for him as well. I mean, there's going to be other companies. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, if I say right now that I feel like Gronk's going to retire from the NFL, notice I haven't said he's going to retire from football. If he walked away from the NFL right now, in 2020, the XFL is back. I wouldn't be shocked to see him come back in a year and play with the XFL because he doesn't have to risk the type of injuries. They would protect him. He's super marketable. McMahon would give him all the money that he wants. That might be an avenue for him to still play football. But the point is this, if he does retire, he's still very much going to be in the public eye for the next 20 years.
I completely agree. But in the meantime, we got a season here. And it's amazing. He's 29, and I understand he gets hit all the time, but our boy Tom is pushing 40, and he's still playing. So
yeah, he's 41.
Pats. Yeah, that's right. Go Pats. Let's win another one, right?
I hope so, man. I really do. Listen, I appreciate the phone call, and thanks for listening down there in Yankee country. It is Sports Radio. WEI, it is Late Night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And another one on the text line tonight says, I think Gronk wants to stick it out with Brady. They're boys now, I think, like off the field, ? I don't know. Well, yeah, they clearly are boys. They're very good friends. They hang out even in the offseason. They like to train together in the offseason. And let's not forget, it was Brady and Gronk sort of joined at the hip this offseason, both making their own individual statement as a team together, not showing up to OTAs. And that tells you something about their relationship as well. And that was a big part of it we learned after the fact. That was Gronk sort of flexing his muscles, saying, trade me to the Lions. Go ahead. I'm going to retire. I won't be worth anything. That was another reason why I feel like when you look at this whole situation with Gronkowski, does he really love the game of football? Or does he love playing the game of football with Tom Brady? Is he comfortable here in New England? Because, again, you know, I gave the Paul Pierce comparison in the first segment, and I'll give it again. It's just as simple as this. You might not want to be traded. You might not be comfortable being traded. You might not want to play for another coach at this stage in your career. You might not want to have to trust another quarterback the way that you trust Tom Brady. I get it. It sucks if you get traded if you're Gronk. But if you truly love the game of football and you want to play it at a high level for as long as you possibly can, are you really going to let getting traded take you away from the game of football? You know, force you to want to quit the game of football? That, to me, is an entirely different story. And I gave the Paul Pierce comparison because, you know, Paul Pierce clearly on the decline after 15 years in Boston. He didn't want to go to Brooklyn, but ultimately he went to Brooklyn, played a year in Brooklyn, went on to play a year with the Wizards, then played a couple years with the Clippers, and then when he had nothing left in the tank, that's when he walked away from the game of basketball. Didn't mean that he was happy about being away from the Celtics. Given his first choice, he would have loved to have stayed here and finished out his career with the Celtics. He said it a million times. All that being said, he loved the game of basketball even more than he loved the Boston Celtics, and that's why he wanted to continue playing, despite the fact that he was no longer this franchise-altering, multiple-time All-Star great player. He was a fringe player, a role player, etc., etc., etc. But you hang on for as long as you can. Hell, right now, there's stories all over the internet, stories right now on Barstool Sports, stories that came out last night on ESPN. Baron Davis was courtside last night. Baron Davis hasn't played in the NBA in 5 years. Courtside at the Golden State Warriors game. And then after the game, he's talking, saying that he's already talked to two or three teams this year, wants to come back in January. He sort of openly asked Golden State, said, look at your backup point guard situation. You know, think about offering me a contract. And he's completely serious because he loves the game of basketball. Last year, he played in the D League, still a multiple-time All-Star. Once upon a time, the most dynamic point guard in the NBA 10, 12 years ago. Still trying to hold on to a game that he loves so much. And he had a devastating injury as well that knocked him out of the game. And now here he is at 40 years old, still desperately trying to get back in because it's something that he loves. He cannot let it go. Meanwhile, Gronk says, trade me, I'm going to quit. His family says, you know what, it's not worth it. Quit the game of football. Gronk says, I'm not going to show up to OTAs. Yeah, Gronk tells the media, I'm not sure if I'm coming back next year. If he's saying all these things, then clearly the idea of walking away isn't all that far-fetched. Clearly, it's something that he has strongly considered as recently as this past offseason. But it is Sports Radio. WEI, it is late night. Room for you at 617-779-7937. Let's stay with the phone calls here. Let's go to Tim. Tim's in Drake It. Tim, you're next up here on WEI.
How you doing, Pat? I had a couple of things, one sports-related and one kind of random question about your full-time job. Which would you prefer first?
The personal question first. Let's do that.
All right. What in God's name, in 2018, soon to be 19, are you getting on a plane every week to sell candy for? Are you a representative at conventions, or are you going, like, essentially door-to-door to sell candy?
So here's how it works. The item that is our number one item, the item that we own all the equipment for, is called the Original Gourmet Lollipop. It's the big sort of golf ball-shaped lollipop that you'll see at the checkouts at CVS, Rite Aid, Walmart. Everybody recognizes them. They're cotton candy is the number one flavor, and we've been around forever. It's an incredible brand, an incredible item. We do $50 million a year in U.S. sales, 50 cents at a time. All that being said,
You're not selling meat here, all right?
No, I know. But all that being said, so we sell to Rite Aid, Walmart, CVS, Dollar Tree, Family Dollar. You name the major retailer, we're in there. The problem is we're predominantly a single item vendor, so we have to come out with seasonal books. So we sell Easter, Halloween, Christmas, summer, back to school. We sell other sort of odds and ends, candy, cookie items, things that go alongside the lollipops, because being a single item vendor means that you can get kicked out immediately, and that's a problem. So I'm always on a plane because I've got to go see Dollar Tree. We have four seasons, so that's four times a year alone just for seasonal. And then you got to go see them to go, you know, reinforce and have your sort of annual business meeting. So let's say it's six trips a year to each customer times 10 major customers. That's about a trip
a week.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Now, my sports thing is, and I'm sure it's been said, I have yet to hear it on Sports Talk Radio, but you've got Gronkowski probably not going to make his numbers for his bonuses to kick in, right?
Not even close. He won't come close.
Now, that being said, a part of me, a lot of people ask, why did Belichick throw this in the contract? Now, obviously, it's kind of a safety net in case things don't go well, but it's also, I think, you think Alex Guerrero is the answer? Prove it. And I think Gronkowski, stupidly enough, and to a lesser extent Brady, said absolutely. They had so much confidence in Alex Guerrero's ability to keep them on the field, and you've seen what's happened, and this can only help Belichick's argument.
Yeah, in a way, Tim, and listen, I'm going to let you go because it's echoing in my ear, but I'll tell you this. I appreciate the phone call, and I like that question, and if I came off like a salesman too much, I'm sorry. That's sort of in my blood. It's what I do, but to answer your question here, Gronk certainly works out with Guerrero. He certainly participates in a lot of what Guerrero is offering. But I don't believe Gronk is 100% into the TB12 method. I don't think that he's given up steaks. I don't think that he is eating, you know, the avocado stuff and really living the dedicated TB12 life the way that Tom Brady does. I don't see that. I haven't read about it quite as much as Tom Brady. You know, so I think that he participates in bits and pieces of the TB12 method, but doesn't buy in 100%. And not for nothing, Gronk was going into this year with an $8.5 million contract. And for the performance that he gives, he's always getting screwed with the guaranteed money. He is. The fact is this. I know it's a technicality, but he plays tight end. He's much more, has the impact of a receiver much more than a tight end here with the Patriots. I think we can all agree on that. I understand he blocks like a tight end. He does other things that ultimately fall under the responsibility umbrella of a tight end. But when he's in his prime here, you know, when he was essentially the lone really down the field weapon for Tom Brady, he behaved, he acted like, he played like a wide receiver. And you look at the money that wide receivers get compared to the money that a guy like Gronk gets at the premier position, premier tight end in the NFL, $8.5 million guaranteed. So I think part of this was he was coming off a very good year last year. He figured he could do it again this year. It's an easy $5 million. You know, it's he and Tom Brady. I think they're both ultra confident in themselves and in their ability to perform. But isn't it funny that both of them got these sort of performance-based in bonus opportunities this year, and both of them, barring some sort of miracle here in the second half of the season, both of them most likely are not going to hit those bonuses. And I feel like they knew that, the Patriots knew that when they offered these up. What's the likelihood that Gronk was going to go, you know, 2 years without missing extended time due to injuries? The odds were certainly in the Patriots' favor in that regard. And I feel like with Tom Brady, the odds were still in the Patriots' favor as well. What were the odds that Tom Brady was going to hit his performance-based incentives, full well knowing that you took away Brandon Cooks, full well knowing that you didn't pay Danny Amendola, full well knowing that Edelman was going to miss the first four games of the season, and even when Edelman came back, you had a guy that hadn't played a real football game in over a year that is now 32 years old. So you've got to overcome all those things as well with him. You're incorporating the mental he's a bit of a mental midget, right? So you've got all those question marks surrounding Tom Brady's receivers. For Tom Brady to hit the numbers that were in that incentive bonus were near impossible. So it gave the appearance of goodwill from the Patriots, but in reality, those bonus contracts were not worth the money, the paper that they were written on. They really weren't, because the Patriots were never really going to pay them out. The Patriots knew that they weren't going to have to pay those things out. They knew that the odds were certainly in their favor, but they also get to save face and say, hey, no, we gave these guys an extra $5 million. You see what I'm saying here? So I think that's part of it as well. But it is sports radio. WEEI, a quick check of the Celtics game here. I don't know what happened. They were playing very well in the first half. I just looked up, and they're down 16 points again. This is becoming a troubling trend here for the Celtics on the road in Utah, currently trailing the Jazz. 8 minutes to go in the third quarter, 73-57. That is not a good thing. We talked a lot last night about the Celtics and that Suns game, despite the fact that the Suns are a terrible basketball team. We talked a lot about the fact that a win like that can truly galvanize a team and maybe remind the Celtics of who they should be, who they were last year. And they came out tonight, they looked like they were playing inspired basketball for a long time tonight. And then we got into Gronk. I didn't look up for a while. I looked up, and I guess the inspired basketball sort of went away. But it is Sports Radio, WEI, 1 hour down, 1 hour to go here on Late Night. The number to join me here is 617-779-7937.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.